Hello everybody. This is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 22nd of January. Introductory thoughts. Superman, Spider-Man, and all the others are supposed to fascinate us because they are strong and powerful. They easily defy the laws of gravity and try to engage for the good of men thanks to their incredible abilities and strengths. They are there when urgent help is needed and save people from situations with no way out, sometimes even death. They fight against the evil adversary and defeat him after a long and hard fight. They try to create a better world. The good outweighs the bad. In fact, that's what we would like God to do. It would excite us if God pulled us out of every difficult and hopeless situation. God could even do more. He could make everyone healthy so that no father or mother would be torn from their young children anymore. God could also put an end to inhuman and terrorist movements. And effectively, that is indeed the case. I mean, God is more powerful than all those superheroes. His power surpasses all that exists, whether in this world or in the world to come. Paul prays for Christians in Ephesus and for all who receive this letter that they will realize how powerful Jesus is. He writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Firstly, knowing with the eyes of the heart. It's amazing how powerful Jesus is. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, "Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." The power of Jesus could not be more absolute. But if Jesus is so powerful and has absolute authority, wouldn't we expect him to intervene more visibly in world events? From our point of view, this would be urgent in many places. Well, Paul talks about the effects of his power among believers, Christians. He even talks about, and I quote, "his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength." Ephesians 1:19. That's wonderful. But can we ask ourselves where this power is visible? We would like to see more visible signs of this overwhelming force. Physically ill brothers and sisters, Christians suffering from depression, persecuted Christians, etc. We pray and understand that what we hoped and wished for is not happening. Sometimes we pray for years for causes that we think might also be important to God's richness, and it seems like nothing is happening. With the psalmist, we could cry out to God, "Intervene then, Lord. Why don't you react? Please wake up. Don't always reject us." Psalm 44, verse 24. "Lord, show me your power." Well, we could take advantage of this text on overwhelming power to question ourselves. Why do so few visibly powerful things happen in our churches? Then we can blame ourselves, because it is certainly not God's fault. The problem must therefore come from us. There, I could put us on the hot seat. I could argue that the few visible manifestations of God's power because we don't pray enough, we don't read the Bible enough, we don't do enough evangelism, as they say, etc. While we should be addressing any of these points in our lives, rarely do we see more demonstrations of God's power. We need to look closely at what Paul is really asking. He asks that God opens the eyes of the heart, so that he reveals to us what is his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Ephesians 1 verse 19. Paul is not talking here about what we might see with our outward eyes. The 72 disciples Jesus sent out once saw the power of God with their own eyes. Enthusiastic, they report to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons submit to us when we give them orders in your name." Luke chapter 10, verse 17. If these manifestations of power were normal for us, Paul would not ask God to open the eyes of our hearts. Paul knew that one can seldom visibly perceive the overwhelming power of God. Sometimes God intervenes in obvious and powerful ways, but this does not happen constantly and will always be extraordinary. Paul himself would have needed many visible interventions from God. 3 times he sailed on boats that capsized in the open sea. Once he drifted all day and all night in the deep sea. He was repeatedly beaten with rods, exposed and humiliated in public. He was thrown in jail several times, etc. From the outside, you couldn't see much of the power of God in Paul. But Paul knew that in this world, this power remains hidden from men who are not reconciled to God. It is because the pressure from without can be so strong that it is so important for God to open the inner eyes of our hearts, and that we should recognize how powerful he is already, here and now, even if we do not have any proof of his power that is visible to all men. The fact that the power of God is so overwhelming must be recognized with the eyes of the heart, because in this world this power will not yet unfold visibly to all men. In this world, the action of God generally remains hidden. We must recognize his power with our hearts. For this, God must give us an interior conviction, an interior certainty. We will feel this force precisely when we are faced with difficult situations with no way out. According to Paul, God will strengthen you with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Secondly, divine power creates life. Paul now shows how we can recognize the greatness of God's power. We recognize it in the resurrection of Jesus. We read, "His incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. With the resurrection of Jesus, God showed how his power surpasses all. His power has defeated and eliminated man's greatest enemy, death. Of course, God could have demonstrated his power by bringing down his Son from the cross. But he let his Son die because he had to die for our sins. He had to die so that we could be reconciled to God. Colossians 2 verse 14. 3 days after the crucifixion, God resurrected Jesus. Death was not stronger than God. Peter said at Pentecost, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Acts 2, verse 24. Death, man's greatest enemy, is vanquished. It is defeated. The power of God manifests itself in raising his Son and taking him with him to heaven. The same power that did this will also resurrect us and take us to heaven. So whatever happens to us, let us remember that God will raise us up. He will bring us into this better world. He will take us to paradise. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Divine power creates life, eternal life. Thirdly, Jesus is more powerful and stronger. Jesus is now in his place of honour at the right hand of his Father in the celestial world. The Father gave him all his power. He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. There is nothing and no one in this world and in the world to come who has more power than Jesus. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. For Christians who lived in a world dominated by powerful gods, this was very important to know. At the time, when armies went to war, the gods were first consulted to know whether or not to wage this war. Everywhere there were great temples in which gods were worshipped. In Ephesus there were temples for the most diverse gods. We know it in particular from the Acts of the Apostles. The cult of Diana or Artemis, the goddess of the hunt, was powerful in Ephesus. The temple that was built for Artemis is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. They were centres of religious power. They dominated people. The tall buildings alone gave the impression of power. It was difficult to escape this cult. The Christians knew these gods. They had served them in the past. They worshipped them. The risk was great that they still attach great importance to them, and it is quite possible that they still feared them. This is why Paul places such importance on prayer, so that God will open the eyes of their hearts to know that the temples and the gods are powerless against Jesus. No power in the visible and invisible world, nor in the world to come, surpasses that of Jesus. When we understand this, we can put all our hope in Jesus alone. So they won't let themselves be intimidated by these gods anymore. They know that there are no gods or powers that they would need to get to heaven. Jesus alone is enough. He will lead them to their destination without the support of the gods. But it's not only for Christians in the world today that it is important to recognize the power of Jesus. It is also important for us, of course, for we, too, may tend to place our hope, in addition to Jesus, in other apparent hope-bearers. But one thing is certain, Jesus alone is enough. Why not trust the most powerful in what he is already showing us today if we want to see it? But Jesus is not only the ruler of the entire universe. Jesus is also the head of the church. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Ephesians 1:22. Thus Jesus, the head of the whole universe, is present in the church. In fact, we can say it even more radically. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Ephesians 1, verse 23. The church is the community in which Jesus dwells and is, so to speak, tangible. Once we understand this, we can only be excited about the church. Let men smile at the church of Jesus, mock it, torment it, and persecute it. We know it. One day, all men will see that we have trusted the most powerful ruler of this world and the world to come. They will be shocked and ashamed of their arrogance toward the gospel. Jesus is always and at all times stronger and more powerful. A final thought. Of course, it would be kind of awesome if the overwhelming power of God were more evident in our world. People would have more respect for us. They would think twice before making fun of us, insulting us, or calling us stupid and gullible human beings in our highly civilized world. But precisely, the power of God is still hidden in this world. In Hebrews we read, and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. Hebrews 2 verse 8. Yes, it's a bit unfortunate, but it is so. But one thing is certain, there is no power that can take us away from God. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing and no one will dare to do this as long as we stand before God. No one can condemn us. Jesus intervenes now for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. Amen.